This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast, our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, cutting Eastern Washington commentary sometimes, and an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded by foreign royalty, MLS. Should have turned the fan on, and I'm talking kind of quiet because I've got a toddler sleeping in the room next to me. From 107.7 The End, mornings, I'm Gregor. He's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth, never at Lumenfield, but many times at whatever it was called before. He's Spokane Brandon.
Spokandon, actually, first of all. That's my Gen Z name. And second of all, when you said that you should have turned the fan on, it reminded me of at the old studio that you used to work. I mean, it's still the current studio, but yeah, it's now the old studio to me. Every time you'd be in the middle of a podcast and all of a sudden you would start to hear just like in the background this,
only it would be like,
yeah, exactly, yeah,
as the HVAC for the professional recording studio is louder than the microphone, the host's on microphone. Really cool stuff. Really,
yeah,
cool.
Awesome.
Anyway, hi.
Hey.
Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
Primarily, though, we'd like you to leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Yeah, from 2012, Freddie Montero, to 2021, Freddie Montero.
Which way do you go?
First of all, that's a very personal question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Second of all, I will
Don't talk to Gen Z about that.
I like tatted up, nothing to lose, coffee shop owning 2021 Freddie Montero.
How do you say old man in in Spanish? Because I want it to be old man.
I don't know. Something hombre.
I don't think that's right, but like Vallejo, maybe? Okay, anyway, I'm all about old man Freddie Montero because he used to drive me absolutely bonkers as a young Freddie Montero playing for Seattle Sounders FC. He never played back, never tracked back, always left people exposed. Ridiculous.
Anciano. That's Anciano. How you say old man. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Freddie Montero, who's probably like 30 now.
He's like 32, I think. Yeah. This week, the best start... equal best start to an MLS campaign for them ever. Seattle Sounders FC take on the, I didn't know, the Wonderful.
I hate that. The who's your daddy San Jose Earthquakes.
No better. Quick and Bakes. Full90podcast.com. Well then, the Fartland Timbers played like they were a 40-year-old managing a buzz on their way to a baseball game in a few hours and put in their full 82. Shoutouts to Cool Keith. Not sure what they were thinking, since pickle season doesn't start until June, or Junio in Italian, if we're going in other languages. And anyone playing along on Duolingo, Hey Gregor.
What is pickles? Is pickles
like baseball? It's like a 1A. It's like the Everett Aqua Sox equivalent.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And former Seattle Seahawks kicker John Ryan is a partial owner
of the pickles.
Yeah.
Of like this, of the league, or of like a team? Like the Pickles is a team in Portland.
Portland Pickles.
Oh my gosh. Oh, there are so many wiener jokes that we should have been making about Portland that we did not know about, that I personally did not know about, and I'm blaming you at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I take full responsibility for that.
The Portland Pickles? Are you serious?
Seattle played the first half like they were still pissed off that the alarm went off too early, which is fair because it was a noon match, which is ridiculous for professional athletes who play in primetime. I guess at least it wasn't the NWSL Challenge Cup final, which started at 10 a.m.
Oh, the final?
Portland. Yeah, the final of the tournament at 10 a.m. What kind of back-ass country is this? Well, we did spend 4 years in the Dark Ages, so I guess that would...
So. You asked that right after we got done talking about a team called the actual Portland Pickles. So
I don't got beef with the Portland Pickles. I just think it's ridiculous that women play not on the prime day at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Just in case there's like another sporting or, I don't know, antiques roadshow conflict that they don't want to go up against. Like,
yeah, it's either like the professional bowling league is what get, or like professional darts is what gets in the way of a ESPN kick, like ESPN3 kickoff times, and it's the Antique Roadshow on the O Network.
That's on PBS. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay, okay.
As a listener supporter, I wanted you to get that right.
You know what was hard, what was difficult. Sorry, yeah. Portland Pickles. What was difficult this week during this 12 o'clock match is that we had my mother. We live in the same town. We live literally a mile down the street from my mother-in-law and my father-in-law.
Can relate.
You can. What's up, Deb? Deb. We had a a Mother's Day brunch, and my wife had been planning this for like the week ahead. She was like, "We're gonna have my mom and dad over for Mother's Day brunch," and I was like, cool. And then I realized that the game was on at noon, and I said, "Hey, Catherine, during brunch, I'm gonna be watching the game. Is that cool?" And she was like, "No,
0% cool."
Yeah. And my father-in-law, who comes in, he goes, "Oh, sweet, Seattle is on. Who are they playing? The Timberwolves. Nice."
Okay, Brandon, I gotta tell you, I think we're living in a simulation. Okay.
Okay.
Because I go over to Deb's house and Mother's Day, yeah. And she's watching the Atlanta United game. You know, the team that didn't exist when she lived there.
Because she's a huge fan.
Huge fan. No, actually, I will give her credit. She is a huge fan. She like went on and on and on about Yosef Martinez scoring his first goal after being injured for a year, this and that, right?
Cool, Deb.
So like, credit where credit's due, but sure. Also they weren't a team when she lived there. Seattle Sounders FC went to the playoffs, you know, 17 times in 5 years or whatever. And she can't be bothered to make that her squad, but that's fine.
Yeah.
I get over there and that game is on. I haven't said anything about the Sounders. I'm not going to be. I just have accepted that I'm going to have to watch it on DVR and not follow along on the internet. And that's how it's going to be. Fine. Kid's going to nap at one. I'll have plenty of time to catch up. I get over there and she was like, the Sounders are on after this. We're putting that on. And I was like, all right. And she goes,
okay.
They're playing the Timberwolves.
Yeah. So apparently that's the thing.
I'd like to petition to call them the Fartland Timberwolves from
Fartland
here on out.
Timberwolves from now. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. It was, somehow. I don't think the league really thought this one through where they were like, let's put our primetime doubleheader matchup on TV at, the first game is at 9, whatever, a.m. and noon on Mother's Day. Because no matter what, in one of those time zones, that's going to be a mess.
Yeah. What was happening on ESPN on Sunday night that they had to boot all of the MLS games for the day slots?
Yeah, it's like the 27th game of the MLB season, yeah. Featuring the team you don't know anything about and the other team that you've never heard of. Cool.
It's like professional cornhole darts. It's where they attach a bunch of darts to the outside of the cornhole things, and then they play dodgeball with them.
Amazing. Actually, that holds up.
Yeah, sounds great. Better cornhole than baseball.
Also, cornhole darts is a terrible porn name. Just like...
You did call it corn whore darts there first, so.
What you gonna do? Oh. So, congratulations, Seattle Sounders FC, only giving up goals from free kicks.
Yeah. So in that first game, they, you know, or the first game that they gave up a goal against LAFC, Nuhu mm-hmm. is like, hey, should I lay, but remember this, yeah, like Nuhu says, should I lay behind the thing? And Stefan Frey says, no. And then, and Nuhu says, okay. And then Atuesta scores a free kick under the goal, something that we've talked about on every podcast since and probably will never get over.
Yeah.
The, this game, then they have a shutout and then they go into this game against, whoever it was, the Timberwolves. And, and so you can see Raul Ruiz Diaz laying behind the wall, and he looks so happy and uncomfortable at the same time. Like, I couldn't quite tell. Like, he kept kind of scooting back and forth like a little Peruvian caterpillar, like a little, like a fat little guinea pig, just kind of scooting his way.
He was ready to do the worm. He was like ready, yeah. But like, I don't know if it's time yet.
Yeah. And so obviously the Sounders are like, okay, free kick from basically the same exact spot as the one from Atuesta. We're going to put, of course, Raul Ruiz Diaz down there for some reason instead of Nuhu. The wall jumps and it doesn't matter because this time whoever it was that shot it, Espria or whatever, kicked it and curved it around the wall. And it makes me think, why wasn't Nuhu being held aloft like Dirty Dancing style above their heads?
Just, oh, or I would, when he said that in my mind, I imagined them grabbing him by the ankles and then
and
spinning.
Just twirling around.
And then, like, hitting the incoming ball, like, with a bat.
That is the sport that ESPN kicked all the MLS games to midday for.
If they use toddlers, then I'm an expert at the sport already. Like, it's...
Playing, you're just in the backyard playing toddler baseball with Lori. Who is this fun for? Absolutely nobody except for the parents.
The dog is pretty pumped about it. She gets to chase that ball and bring it back. That's pretty fun. Bite the kid. That's pretty exciting.
That's perfect. You end up with a little kid dog chain twirling around the backyard.
Kid dog chain.
That's my rap name also.
The old KDC. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Sounders with a great start to the season. Jeremiah O'Shan on Twitter points out that 10 points through 4 matches and tied for the best start in franchise history. They started 5-0-1 a couple seasons ago in 2019. How did that end up again? Did that end up with us getting tattoos?
Yeah, it did end us, which is unfortunate because I don't know if I want any more tattoos.
Too bad, bro.
Okay. Locked in for life. Yeah. We have some sort of falling out in 10 years from now, and like 30 years from now, the Sounders score or like win their 14th MLS Cup and we have to get back together and sit for like a 5-hour session.
Get the pod back together. If question for you and for anyone listening, you can hit us up at Full 90 Podcast on Twitter. I'm curious to know if you could get a neck tattoo with Raul Ruiz Diaz. And it didn't have to be about any religion or anything. You could just get something. And you'd go at the same time as him. Would you get a neck tattoo? Because you'd be tattoo bros forever.
Oh, yeah. You'd be like...
Super Ruiz Diaz tattoo bros?
Yeah, eternally linked to Raul Ruiz Diaz. Which, he seems like a pretty fun guy.
Yeah.
He seems like he loves... He seems like a guy who would take his kid and go play some toddler dog chain
dog
league baseball. Yeah.
I wrote it down.
Okay, great.
Get that right.
Good, good, good. you know what? The Sounders are on their like best. Oh, let me answer the question first of all. Yes, absolutely. Neck tattoo. I'm getting a neck tattoo with Raul Ruiz Diaz. Are you?
Yeah, buddy. That sounds good. Yeah, I'm in. Why not?
Yeah.
If like people are like, oh my god. I mean, I'm already unemployable outside of radio.
Sure.
Like, what would I do? Like,
I already feel silly enough explaining why I have 2 stars tattooed on my forearm to my friends at work. So. What's a neck tattoo gonna change? What's that for? Oh, I got it with a professional soccer. I got me and him went in and got I don't know, Cheez-Its tattooed on our necks.
Please tell me there's no Cheez-Its in the room and that's just what came to mind and it wasn't something that you looked at like my toddler and
there are no Cheez-Its in the room.
Yes.
I don't know why. It's like when I reached deep into my brain and that's Cheez-Its is what I pulled out.
Dude, you don't have to know why. Cheez-Its are f***ing delicious.
They are good.
I almost bought some yesterday, but I had some little powdered white donuts in my bag already at the cart or the in the basket, and I couldn't get both.
Yeah,
I mean, I could because I'm an adult, but
I wonder
as my wife would point out, I'm not very good at it. So
I wonder. I wonder if you could like dual purpose this neck tattoo. Like, could you go and like write a letter to Cheez-Its and say like, hey, I got a neck tattoo with Raul Ruiz Diaz. He's a professional soccer player. I got Cheez-Its tattooed. We both got Cheez-Its tattooed on our necks. We got twin Cheez-It tattoos. They're flavor blasted. And I would just like to know if you could just sponsor us, like sponsor our Cheez-Its.
I did a quick Googling here, and the most valuable Peruvian brands at the top in 2020, Cristal, a beer brand owned by Union de Cervecerias.
Yeah.
Cervecerias.
Cervecerias, yeah.
Yeah. Perunas, Bacas, y Yonstone was the most valuable Peruvian brand with a brand value of $1.29 billion U.S. dollars. We're getting beer logos tattooed on our necks with Raul Ruiz Diaz, bro.
Absolutely. As long as they are Cheez-It flavored.
Is he... That is the worst sounding beer ever. But maybe
so that's the Jones Soda beer.
Maybe if it was a warm beer on a cold day, cheese flavored beer.
Just cheese soup at that point. Just cheese it soup.
Anyway, he's Peruvian, right? I got that right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Sure. Just making sure that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Sounder, this is interesting. So, you posted Jeremiah's tweet in here, 10 points in the first four matches. Their best start in franchise history was actually in 2019. They went 5-0-1. So what's that? 15 points, right? And so the best that the Sounders can do year.
I never know how MLS does it. Is it five wins?
You know what? You're right. That's 16 points. That's 5 wins, 0 losses, and 1 draw.
Wow.
The best the Sounders can do through through 6 games this year, if they win both of these games, is 16 points. So they very well could tie their 2019 record in the upcoming matches. Now, in 2019, what didn't happen is the Sounders didn't start off hot. And then go and win and stay hot throughout the entire season and go and win the MLS Cup they did go and win the MLS Cup. They didn't win the Supporters Shield because in the middle of the season, something that that's going to happen this year as well, you lose all of your players to international call-ups, and the Sounders are stacked with international players as they always are.
As Raul Ruiz Diaz will be going back to Peru to play in the Copa America, for instance.
Exactly.
I do have an idea for who we could replace somebody on the field with, because there's somebody that needs a job right now. Winner of the Kentucky Derby, I can't remember the horse's name.
It's like Medina Spirit, I think.
Was it? Now, question.
Yeah.
Was it the horse or the jockey that got popped for drugs?
The horse.
God damn it. You can't leave horses alone at all.
And it was for cocaine. And we know one thing about Medina Spirit, and he loves to party.
he's the new Spuds McKenzie for anyone alive in the 80s. The horse is like over there, like, hey, what are you smoking over there? It's just hay.
It's just hay. It's nothing. It's
mind your business, farmer.
It's for my glaucoma.
My horse glaucoma.
Sounders injury generator. Horse glaucoma.
Oh no.
The Kentucky Derby winner got blamed. First of all, the Kentucky Derby winner got disqualified, or it's in a petition right now, like tested positive for whatever drugs, because you can't keep a horse from partying. And the owner of the Kentucky Derby winner, named Medina Spirit or something like that, some weird horse name, mm-hmm. Went on Fox News and blamed cancel culture for the horse as well, for the horse getting drug tested, which, in my opinion, is a terrible, obviously stupid thing to say, but also gives us a very easy out when the Sounders lose their first game of the season.
Cancel culture.
They didn't lose. It's cancel culture.
Well, first of all, if you're going by Fox News, then you just say they didn't lose, they won, and this is a fix.
Stop the count right now. Sounders, Supporters Shield champions.
Yeah, great. So I feel like almost half of America would agree with this logic right now. So
yeah,
it's great. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I'm just saying, when they're short on people and they need someone fast out on the wing that's maybe also on drugs, we have exactly the person for you. So.
A horse. And we already have our wingers already have horse glaucoma. So it's really a one-to-one type
of replacement. The training staff is already up to speed. It's no big deal.
We're great.
Horse glaucoma.
What is Nuhu eating? Hey.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
I had not seen this, and when I read your text message about it today, I got so excited without having seen it, and the assumption, just knowing what a disaster it was going to be, you sent me a message about the new Columbus Crew. Oh. You've seen the new Columbus logo, yeah, is what it said. And I was like, oh boy, I can't wait.
It is not the Columbus Crew logo, I should say. Because not only these, the most recent champions of MLS Cup are rebranding for summer. This team, the Save the Crew, Columbus Crew, the team that like based their entire Stay in This City campaign around Save the Crew, this team that's been around since 1996, the founding of this league, the new owners want to rename them the Columbus SC, Columbus South Carolina.
That's what I said to Lori, my wife. I was like, now they're just called Columbus SC. And she was like South Carolina? And I was like, ah. Oh. You're trying to become a global icon. You use SC, first of all, soccer club.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course. Their excuse to rename and to rebrand the club is that Columbus SC is an attempt to become a more global brand. A more global brand for a Columbus-based soccer club where most people around the globe, when they think of the United States, are like, yes, Columbus, Ohio. Is that where Drew Carey's from? No, that's Cleveland. That's still Cleveland.
Is that where the Baseball Hall of Fame is? No. That's Canton. So yeah. Right.
Oh, is it where the good chili is? Nope. Cincinnati. That's Cincinnati.
Oh, is it where that really kind of half-assed heavy metal festival was for a few years? Rock on Range. And like, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, oh, Columbus. No, oh. Oh, at Map Free Stadium. Cool.
Oh yeah, LeBron. LeBron's Akron. That's
the Black Keys. No, also Akron.
Also Akron. Actually, everything's in Akron.
Yeah, it's I just like, I've had the fortunate life to travel a little bit, and you go places and they're like, where are you from? And the further away the language is, the less that they've ever heard the word Seattle. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame them, because there's like 20 cities in China with 10 million people, and I've heard of like five of them at this point. And so I have no concept of any other place other than my own, because I'm ignorant. But you go to other places and you're like, Seattle, they're like, New York? I'm like, yes.
Yep.
You know, Los Angeles? Up from there. They're like, okay, great. LA, yeah. Got it. So it's Columbus trying to, I think that's just a bunch of crap, and they're just trying to sell some new jerseys. Well, wait, let's talk about the beautiful design, though.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so apparently you look at it, and it's this weird shape, right? It's like a trapezoid that's been notched out in the bottom middle. Apparently it's the shape, it's the actual shape of the Ohio State flag, which I didn't know that you didn't have to be a rectangle, first of all. So the Ohio State flag is this like weird pennant type shape thing, but it's not a full pennant because the tip of it is, you know,
looks like a snake tongue.
It's like it's cold out or something like that.
It's like, ooh, brr.
Yeah. And so it's just, you know, whoop, right back up in itself. And then the C, it's like the weirdest shape. Like, we don't have to spend the whole time, the whole podcast dunking on Columbus. But the Chicago Fire rebrand looks professional next to this. Like, there's this weird notched yellow triangle that is nothing. Columbus and the SC are both not even within the parameter of the logo. They're just kind of words and letters slapped on top and on bottom. So at the end of the day, I think maybe they're trying to really lean into this C brand, but that doesn't say Columbus. Maybe they're trying to do a Cincinnati thing, but like where the C becomes iconic. But you take that C out of the logo, it's nothing. It's like a weird shape. It kind of looks like a G.
It's the C looks like what you would use to remove staples from a bulletin board.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those little claw clipper things, right?
Yeah. So if you took a rectangle and it was a tall rectangle, right? And you took a triangle out of the bottom of it. So you had like this weird, like five-sided shape. You would have this C that you're trying to fit in there. And so there's this empty space. So what do they do to make it symmetrical? They just add a random
triangle.
They put
a Dorito in it.
So what it looks like to me is you took the, like, that Columbus thinks that they have been the, I don't know, captain, like, you know, Russell Wilson wears the captain's C on his NFL jersey. Yeah. It looks like they're trying to do that, only with angular shapes. I disagree with you, though. I do think it is better than the Chicago Fire, or whatever they're called now, whatever Chicago's new logo is. That's the worst piece of garbage on the planet. That it literally looks like someone used construction paper to build a professional sports team logo. At least this one is... sharp.
What does it for me, literally sharp. Like if you turn this into what, it's one of those things that women can wear on their keys so they can stab potential abductors.
Yeah, see, already better. You're making the argument for me. Thank you.
To me, there's a branding opportunity for Columbus right there. new merch. Great. For me, Chicago went from like a bad logo to a bad logo. Columbus went from a somewhat good logo, even though it's maybe a little bit boring, maybe a little bit generic, to a just bad logo. So to me, it's like a huge step down, which is what makes it worse than the Chicago one. Because the Chicago one is just boring. And it's like, it is more Doritos than the Columbus one, to be fair, which might make it a good thing.
I think that the Chicago one is literally bad, and this one is just a bad move.
Sure.
Instead of it being...
I think like it's also bad. Like, all of those design flaws that I was just talking... Like, if you look at it from a designy, like, from a designer perspective, mm-hmm. and I'm no professional graphic designer, but I've watched enough YouTube videos, okay? So when you look at this thing, like, if you pick it apart, there is nothing other than the shape of the flag of Ohio, which... encompasses all of the cities in Ohio. It is not like iconic to Columbus, the city itself. Mm-hmm. So like when you try to start to look at representation of what this logo means, you just have a wonky shaped C, a weird triangle, a weird shaped crest, and then Columbus SC on the outside. So from a design perspective, it's nothing. It's nothing good. It's not a good design. Like when you look at it, you aren't like, wow, that's a cool logo. If you looked at it next to all of these global, if they want to be globally iconic, if you look next to it, like look at it next to all of these global soccer brands, it's going to look like a minor league team.
I mean, if you're Montreal at this point, who released that manhole cover of a logo a few months ago, you must be feeling great. Your job is secure there because, man, there's a lot of other garbage flying around it, right?
Garbage. Yeah.
Speaking of angles, I don't know what this is about, but you put something in here. It's called the Nice Ossoles Triangle, and I love it.
So Aaron Merritt on Twitter hit us up to send us a picture of possibly the best bit of math that this podcast has ever encountered since we unlocked the code of conversion rates to Canada, right?
Obviously.
And that is, if you wanted to make an isosceles triangle, and that is one where it has two, what do you call it, when the angles, two equal angles and one that is acute and then the other two are equal. I don't know how to describe an isosceles triangle, but if you wanted to start with one that was 42.0, if that was your acute angle at the top, the other two to make it work would have to be 69.
So you have two 69s and a 420 is what you're trying to say.
and it's titled Isosceles Triangle.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Just need to add that in there.
I'm just glad that we have people who know math, tweeting at us, so thank you.
I'm not, you know, looking at his profile picture, I'm not sure that Aaron actually knows math.
He doesn't know math, but he knows Reddit.
No, he could actually. I'm zooming in with that hat. I think that it's possible. Anyway, Aaron is a longtime friend of the pod. We appreciate you doing that, dude. Thank you so much.
No, all right. If I'm looking at this guy, and I'm looking at, if I had to base whether or not he knows math just based off of his profile photo,
yeah,
I'm saying the guy at least passed calculus in high school.
He's better put together than the Columbus Crew logo, that's for sure.
Fair enough.
Yeah. How about that RSL Rubio Rubin goal?
I swear every goal scored this year in every game is trying to win goal of the season. except
there must
for
be a bonus we don't know about.
Yeah. RSL Rubio Rubin, if you haven't, well, also Rubio Rubin sounds like a evil character from a 1980s like international Miami police flick.
His parents were thinking branding when they named him. They were like, this
Rubio
guy.
Rubin.
Professional athlete, designer, something. He's going to be known.
So he scores an insane bicycle kick, takes it off his chest, bicycle kick into not quite the corner. Like, it could have been saved probably, but it was pretty great. But it looked, like you put it in the notes here, it looked not as good, but still had harkens back to Patrick Ioane's scissor kick goal of the year.
Yeah, I mean, anyone should know that, right? Wayne Rooney, get out of here with your flying overhead bicycle kick. This guy's a full-on Ioane. That's the goal everyone thinks of, though, when noi vediamo una bicicleta, vero?
Still don't know Spanish.
Also, it's Italian.
I should know more Italian. I don't know any Italian.
Hey, how about how we're 30 minutes into this and we've barely talked about the soccer match that happened the other day?
We've talked about a lot about Columbus, though. Yeah, Sounders win two.
Hold on. I'm not ready yet.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a sumo tournament that started.
Perfect. All right, 30 minutes. Let's go.
I haven't watched a single minute of it yet, so we can't go there just yet. Okay, so yeah, a big 2-1 win on the road for Seattle Sounders FC. We've already talked about how they're top of the league right now, which is pretty sweet, but for obvious reasons, being in first place. But also, it's so early on, and you got to get through Copa America and all the internationals and everything. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's talk about this. August 1st through August 28th, we'll look at that kind of window to see where this team is, because anyone can make a run, because it's playoff-based sports. So you just got to be there, get into play, which is a strength that Seattle's had for quite some time now.
Right now, there isn't really a team, like if you look across the league, which I seldom do, but if you do, and it doesn't really seem like there's a team playing as consistent as the Sounders are right now. So if the Sounders do what they did in 2019, and in this first half of the season until August, build up a huge point base so that they can just the bed for an entire month while players are gone for international duty, then they might have just enough to, you know, win the West, right? Maybe not the Supporter Shield. I would love that. Yeah. Like, they're playing like they want that right now. Can they keep up that form? I don't know, because you put a note here, and I think Brian Schmetzer put it well in the first half. It looked like one team played at midweek at altitude, and it is not the Portland Timbers. That's what Brian Schmetzer said at half. And you put in the notes here, Sounders did not bring the confidence earned in the first three matches into this one. And yeah, they came out slow. They came out sloppy. Rui Diaz was putting his shots everywhere except in the goal.
How many times are those dummies going to say fluffed it in one broadcast? I heard both of them say it, and one of them twice. So, oh, Rui Diaz has fluffed it again.
I swear, like, Twellman finds a word and then he just sticks to it.
Well, that's unfortunately that is a broadcaster's deficiency. That is a crutch developed, and those things are hard to break when you're not, even for longtime broadcasters. I'll say it that way.
Yeah,
I'll give 12 men a little bit of that. Something I noticed in the match: Yamar was awesome, and as he gets to full fitness, which is probably about now, the guy looks incredible. But he is so thick. I feel like he's thicker than ever.
He's a big boy.
I don't
think he's Roman Torres thick yet, but he is filling that role. He's filling those shorts.
Every time he like stuck a foot in to kick it, the ball didn't just like get poked away. He kicked it to goddamn Pluto every single time, man. It was like, I would not want to be on the receiving end of one of those thighs, man.
Never mind. So we were wondering after the last match against LA, where the Sounders looked great on defense against the Galaxy. They come out there and Yamar gets trotted out there again with his horse glaucoma and all. And he
that was new.
He,
who? Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I thought it was contagious. Yamar goes out there and looks solid. I mean, even Twellman at some point says Yamar has had himself a game. We put out a tweet on Full 90 Podcast at one point that said Yamar looks like he never wants to touch the bench again. He doesn't even want to hear the word bench in English, Spanish, Italian, whatever language you might say it in. Him and the bench are diametrically opposed. He will never ride the bench ever again. Because the way that he's playing, the tackles that he's making are not Arriaga-ish. They are safe. He seems to be in position at all times. There were a couple times where he maybe looked like he got pulled out, but they never led to really clear opportunities.
On the other hand, our buddy New Who played like Old Who this weekend. That first half, at least, that guy was making some bad touches, some bad placements, doing some bad runs. There was not a lot of positive things to say about the guy that, of course, Taylor Twellman wanted to speak positively of for the whole match. He wasn't giving him anything. He didn't quite reach poo-hoo levels, but he certainly was not playing like the player that we had seen. Schmetzer, you know, at half spoke with John Champion, and he looked pissed off, and it certainly seems like the team was kicked in the ass a little bit because some of those mistakes of the first half, that sleepiness was shaken off. Will Bruin comes off the pitch in the second half to be replaced by Freddie Montero, and they like focused in on him right before that, and I was like, oh my God, I know who Will Bruin reminds me of, finally. Did you ever watch the show Psych?
Yeah. Yeah,
he looks like James Rodé from Psych.
Okay, okay.
Only like way fitter because he's a professional athlete. I was like, oh my god, no wonder I like you. You're Psych. Oh, that's amazing. Or Skype, as I would call him to annoy my wife. So there we go. Anyway, Brad Smith, you're worried about him.
Yeah, you know what? First of all, thank you. We've gotten like many suggestions about what to call the Golden Bogan Hogan instead. First of all, if you've said that out loud, you're not sending a suggestion of what to name it because you already know it's perfect. Golden Bogan Hogan is the Golden Bogan Hogan, and it's not changing. I'm sorry, but you know, Scuba Steve says I was going to call it the Golden Croc. Because I guess crocs are Australian and also crocodiles. Great. David Horm.
There's like a whole show based on that premise.
Yeah.
The crocodile hunter.
David Horm tweets in and he says, in case the Golden Bogan Hogan doesn't stick, which it will, he submits.
Obviously, we're not letting go.
Yeah. The Golden Bogan Hogan is the Golden Bogan Hogan.
We will lose listeners over this if we have to.
He says that he submits the Golden Ugg. Apparently, the Ugg is an Australian brand, the Ugg boot, which doesn't make any sense to me because Australia seems warm and Uggs seem like things that you wear in cold places, but whatever.
Yeah. I had no idea about that. That's amazing. Yeah. I feel like we really are idiots, obviously, because we didn't see the Golden Boomerang as being an option.
Oh, idiots.
Yeah, I don't. But, I mean, obviously we can't turn back on the Golden Bogan Hogan. Just not.
Like, saying it is one thing, but hearing you say it makes me laugh.
Isn't GBH the Golden Bogan Hogan? Isn't that what, like, the Alex Rodriguez uses to hit a million home runs or whatever?
It's for his horse glaucoma, damn it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That brings us to the most important player for Seattle. It's the Horse Drugs Man of the Match.
Your Horse Drugs Man of the Match.
Horse Drugs.
I would whinny like a horse right now or like Nick, but I don't know how. Your Horse Drugs Man of the Match is Kellen Rowe.
Horse Drugs, what are you looking at, Enum Claw?
It's for my horse glaucoma. I say Kellen Rowe because look, Freddie Montero scores a goal. He has a spot. You know, he has a shout for man of the match. Rui Diaz has a goal. He has a shout for man of the match. Stephen Fry reaches his 1,000th save as a professional keeper. He has plenty of saves during the match. Saves the penalty that has to get retaken. All of that stuff. Kellen Rowe. There was like one time where he knocks one of the Portland players over and one of the Timberwolves players over. And he just stares him down and he like backs away slowly, staring him down the entire time. He lets out this sly little smile and then winks at him and turns around and walks away and it gets immediately subbed out. But that was like, for me, the moment of the match by a long shot. This guy who like grew up in Federal Way, played his entire career between like New England and whatever other club he played at, and then comes to Seattle and instantly inserts himself into this rivalry to the point where like the Portland Timberwolves Reddit thread and their entire subreddit are talking about how much they hate Kellen Rowe after playing in this game one time. So he, for that alone, because of his massive cojones, gets the man of the match in my book.
I mean, Freddie Montero scores a goal again against Portland, and they don't even like that. Like, that guy sucks. But like, no, this guy who looks at us funny.
Yeah.
Now, I saw that same thing and was like, boy, I would not want to stand within 5 feet of that person. That's how scared of him I was, and he's on our team.
Yeah.
So God forbid he ever goes to another team, which he has before, but like, man, I would also hate him, I think, based on that interaction.
Speaking of Freddie Montero and his history with Portland, to watch the free kick actually that set up the Freddie Montero's goal, his header goal, the foul that led to that free kick was Diego Chara fouling Freddy Montero, who then goes and scores the header from the ensuing set piece, right? That, like, I don't know why, but I watched it and I was like instantly taken back to the Copper Hog, which is a now defunct bar in Bellingham where I went to school, was like the last place that I watched Freddy Montero get fouled by Diego Chara in 2012.
I know if you're not allowed to say that you'll that anything positive about Portland at all ever, but there's something about having played so many matches and it being the first of the season that, like, it's good to see Diego Chara still out there running around. It's good to see Diego Valeri out there still running around. It's good to see Diego Valeri F up two penalty kicks and, or not, you know, he only, two, I guess. Yeah. He messed up both of them, yeah. And those were both on him. And then immediately get subbed off, which I think was the, oh. No, I don't care if you're the captain, you out. Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
I feel like I had to explain to somebody, like to my father-in-law, I was like, he's not, I don't think he's being subbed out because he missed.
When is he
going to
shoot those free
kicks?
Throws?
In Minnesota, where the Timberwolves play. No, I think that it was probably planned that he was going to get subbed out around the X number of minutes, right? Because of the match that they played midweek against, you know, some Mexican team. And they have a match this weekend, or probably midweek as well. They have something like 5 matches in 15 days or something. Mm-hmm. We talked about that on the last pod. He was probably getting subbed out to manage his minutes a little bit, make sure he's fresh for the next game. Except the timing looked brutal. And like brutal. The camera just kept cutting back to Diego Valeri sitting on the sideline looking very sad with his, like, his little ponytail. Is like, it's like the type of ponytail that you put in like a little girl's hair to make sure that all of your friends stop saying, oh, how's your son? It's like, it's a girl, damn it.
I mean, Spokane things, I guess, right?
Yeah, obviously. You have to be one pick.
It's not a choice, Brandon.
We don't like little boys that look like little girls around here.
So we step into the next frame here, and we look at Seattle Sounders FC on the road again, this time against San Jose Earthquakes, PayPal Park, Wednesday night. It's bedtime o'clock when they start for me, 7:30-ish, whoever's covering it decides to start. I think this is a Joe TV episode for once, which means maybe it'll start more on time. That's nice. San Jose currently second in the West with LA Galaxy tied on 9 points. They're 3-1-0, and that could be 3 wins and a loss. Yeah, it must be 3 wins, a loss, and a draw. I see it written different ways with MLS score sheets.
Like the Google one is different. They are 3 wins.
One loss,
no draws.
Yeah, with 9 points. Yeah. They just beat RSL 2-1 on goals from Wando in the last 10 minutes. Super sub, Wondolowski comes on and punishes RSL for not seeing this game through.
Yeah, Wondolowski, 38 years old, playing on the San Jose Earthquakes somehow still. Their big story this season, though, hasn't been Wondolowski, even though he did get both of those goals against RSL. 17-year-old Cade Cowell has been, like, not just one of the stories for San Jose, but one of the stories of MLS. Like, they cannot stop talking about him. And then this other kid who has, like, way too similar of a name, Caden Clark. And at this point, I'm sure that, like, all Gen Z names have to start with Cade of some sort. It's like Cade, Caden, Cater, Cadeski, Cadelandra.
What's your name? It's Caterer. I'm named after my dad.
I don't know. So Cade Cowell has been scoring goals for San Jose. He's been making some ridiculous assists. I'd say, yeah, Wando's usually the guy that has the Sounders number. He's going to be the guy that scores goals against the Sounders every time they play. He's just always the monkey on their back, right? But this year, the guy actually to watch out for is Cade something or other.
Cade Cowell. Okay. Yeah. 17 years old, man. That's I won't even bag on him because he's not even old enough for me to talk smack yet.
But he's old enough. He's young enough that literally Chris Wondolowski could be his father.
He's like, Wondolito. Congratulations to Wando, too. Those 2 goals took him to 168 for his career, just one shy of the mythical 169.
He'll get it in the realm of the Wizard Bird. So in 2020, if you want to look back at, like, what are you going to expect from this game? Yeah, last year was a weird year. The Sounders played San Jose 4 times, drawing twice 0-0. But in the grand scheme of things, if you take the aggregate of all 4 of those games, the Sounders beat San Jose 11-2 on aggregate. I totally forgot about the a 4-1 win is a big win, obviously, right? It's a big one. I forgot that the Sounders absolutely whomped them 7-1.
Love to see that again.
Yeah, I gotta go back and watch those highlights.
I just want to see it happen again.
Yeah,
like,
I would love to see that again as well.
All right, well, let's take a look into our Crystal Pepsi Bowl. Big match tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. at PayPal Park, not Avaya Stadium anymore.
PayPal Park is trying to be Golden Bogan Hogan. I'm just saying.
This is how it rolls off. Take a look into your Crystal Pepsi Bowl, Brandon, and tell me what you see.
First of all, I got to say props to you for last. I think I'm pretty sure you predicted a 2-1 on the last. You predicted a 3-1.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Somebody was giving you credit, and I agreed with them, and now I'm going to go back and talk.
You should definitely go back and check your
notes. No, I think you said 4-1.
4-1.
Ah, idiot. I am going to go ahead and say that my Crystal Pepsi Ball prediction is going to have the Sounders winning this 3-1.
Okay. I wish I could say the same thing. I'm going to go ahead and go most dangerous score in soccer. We're going to go 2-0.
7-1. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. 2-0.
7-4. they're gonna win by 4 birdies.
Wizard birdies?
All right. In case this podcast was too long and you didn't listen, it's too long. Didn't listen.
Yeah, too long. Didn't listen.
Brandon's so mad he hasn't been making dick jokes about pickles.
The Portland Pickles, ridiculous. All right, too long, didn't listen.
Worst porn title, Cornhole Darts.
Forgot about that. Too long, didn't listen.
We could become Super Rui Diaz Tattoo Brothers.
Dude, don't even joke about that. I would do that. I would do that
yeah,
right
I
now.
Yeah, I would too. Star. We should hit him up.
Dude, our next tattoo, star on the neck. too long, didn't listen.
New Who is out with... Ah, horse glaucoma.